ministry in Moldova with Pavel Antonelli. It's not the same work which is on the sheet, I think, this week or last week. That's with David Cronick, isn't it? This is in the northeastern part, and Pavel has not been here for a while. It's a very poor country, Romania. And Romania has been constantly overrun by the nations of the world historically. The last empire to conquer it was Russia. But in turn, there's another nation nearby called Moldova, which has always been overrun by other nations historically. And the people there are unbelievably poor, incredibly poor. And it deeply touched me when I first came across Pavel and the people in Romania who were true believers, because out of their littleness, they were giving to Moldova. And you, in your generosity, have now given to that work, and I think it was £1,000 that was raised. And this will feed these people. He was telling me when he rang me, Pavel, this was in Romania, not Moldova. He said, it's minus 15 here at the moment. So, well, thank God I'm here. Can you believe it? But isn't this, again, how it should be? That we don't have to just look at our bank balance. Oh, you know, Christmas is coming and it's rather tight and so on. You give of your lack. And yet the amazing thing is, are you deprived? When you give in God, you're not deprived. And God loves a cheerful giver. He wants people who, well, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And every one of us can be asking God, how can I give? And you'll be a blessed man or a blessed woman if you learn to be a giver. If you ever read Proverbs, you find what it says about mean people and people who just hoard it all up for themselves. And there again, of course, we have a lot today of people who criticize the rich and say, well, we'll take all their riches and we'll give it to everyone, including me. And then you'll see how generous we all are. And do you think that'll work? It won't. Sounds good on paper. Why? Because the heart of all men, and that mankind, humankind, I suppose I better say, is desperately wicked. And outside of Jesus Christ, outside of a regenerate heart, we're fallen. We're fallen from the vision of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But the wonderful ministry that God has given to us, and he specifically called me with this, he said, I've given unto you a ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. A reconciler between men and God. And God has given you this ministry. He wants you to be one who is reaching out, stretching out beyond yourself. I was mentioned a little bit before when Marion read out, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his plan and purposes. And then I distracted myself. And I meant to tell you about Tony Abbott. Now, Tony had just qualified as an architect down in Cardiff. This is many years ago. And that night, the group of students who just qualified, they decided to meet up to celebrate. And he had a little scooter. And he was riding the scooter down in South Wales. And he crashed. And he lost his sight. And great parts of his brain as well. But didn't stop him functioning. Now, what would you do? I think that's so hard, isn't it, to be blinded? You think, that's it. And an architect, he'd spent all such skills and learning and his future was before him. Would you give up? Well, he didn't give up. He actually went to a training school. And there's a reason for me telling you all of this. and to retrain. And from training as an architect, he had to train in those days, I don't know if it's still the same today, to type or audio type and so on. And it didn't light many fires for him. And he also had very bad epilepsy, and he kept part of this damage that had been done every half hour or so, very bad attacks. Anyway, when he started to go to the training school, he met a blind lady there. And this blind lady, her name was Margaret. And they got friendly, and more than that, the relationship developed. But she took it steady because she said, look, I'm a Christian. And he said, well, I go to church, you know, every Christmas. And she said, will you come along to our church? And it was in London, and it was Martin Lloyd Jones's church. Now, again, some look blank and some smile. That's usually an age thing, because if you're if you're over a certain red line, you'll say, wow, Martin Lloyd Jones, wow, what a wonderful preacher and writer and teacher in Westminster Chapel. And he was a powerful man of God. And they started their groups, and there were a number of people there, including a guy called Ian Andrews. He was in one of these groups. And some others who went to ultimately South Chard. Anyway, the group started to meet, and Tony got into it. And then one day, wonderfully, gave his life to the Lord. And he was radically changed, and the group prayed for him. And his epilepsy just went. And he told this many times. Now, I don't know why he didn't have any eyes, actually. But his blindness didn't go, but complete healing of the epilepsy. And then he was told, there's the Architects Benevolent Society, that was the name of it, for architects who've fallen on hard times, said they have a bungalow that's been given to them. It's up in on Merseyside in a place called Ainsdale, which he didn't know about then. And they said, but you know, you've got sort of first refusal on this. I married Margaret by then. Anyway, so they spoke about and prayed about and felt they'd go. And they asked the group, their little home group, can you just pray whether this is the right thing? And amazingly enough, my natural brother, who's just died, he was in the group. And they said to the group, we don't know anyone up there. And he said, my brother said to Tony, well, you want to contact my brother and his wife. They'll make you welcome and all the rest of it, and so on. And indeed, that's what happened. And that's where we started to meet. So Kingsway began. It's a house group. And where we made our contacts with South Chard, not just South Chard, because people came from all over the place, all over the world. Some very well-known ministries were just passing through, and it was incredible. And of course, the time came for us to move on. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now. But there's a time and there's a season for absolutely everything. And Tony was the most gracious man. In spite of just being blind, he never gave up. He never gave up at all. And my picture of him reading his Bible in Braille, a big black, literally, you know, very big black Bibles, and he'd quote from it and speak from it, and their home. And again, for Margaret, it was just marvelous. They had three lovely girls who were women now and mothers themselves. They didn't let adversity just get in the way. They didn't just say, well, That's it. It hasn't worked for good for me. I've had a rotten life. Why should I follow God? No. When each one of us takes hold of a truth that every single thing in our life works for good, everything, these are stepping stones for our eternal destiny, for every single one of us. It's a challenge for us, but it's a challenge that we really do need to rise to. And the Lord gave me a word for today. Sometimes, you know, if you're going to preach, as many of you do, or speak, you get your Bible out and you do, and you think of something appropriate and work around it and so on. And that's wonderful, and there's nothing wrong in that whatsoever. But it's wonderful when God speaks to you and you say, this is what I've got to speak on. And I said with Gwen, I said, I know what I've got to speak on Sunday. And so I know that if you have ears to hear, you will receive what God is speaking to you about. Because I don't just want for people to sort of think, well, that's a good message. That's not what it's about. We want to hear the word of the Lord. Remember the Hebrew? Ko Amor Adonai. Thus says the Lord. So let's see what the Lord says. Can you put up that scripture, please, Pauline? Jeremiah 48, verse 11. Moab has been at ease since his youth. He has also been undisturbed, like wine on its dregs, or the older version says lees. And he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor and his aroma has not changed. Now, what is this saying? Well, it's telling us, it's comparing Moab. And leave Moab to one side, its history and everything else for now. But you can put yourself in that place. It says he's been at ease since his youth. So in other words, quite content. Not particularly hard, not particularly easy, but things are going along. He's been undisturbed, just like wine on its lees. Now, I'm no wine expert and don't intend to be. Some are very knowledgeable here. In moderation, well done. Outside of moderation, forget it. But like wine on its lees. Now, what are these lees? What are these dregs? Now, it's important that these are part of giving the wine its flavor. And they're left there to ferment. They're left there for effect. And the expert wine producers, they know the perfect time when you're leaving it too long. And these lees, these dregs, they become syrupy and thick. And they pollute the taste. So that's what this is saying. That there's a time in our lives where you're blessed. It's a good time. Just like I've recalled some of the early days in the life, well, the very early days in the life of the fellowship, before the fellowship as such existed, and so many here can go back, and there were good days, fantastic times. But the time comes when everything has to change and move on. And here now, it was time for Moab, it was time for you to be poured into what? Another vessel, to be filtered. And the best wine apparently comes through this filtering process. And so you're going from one stage to the next. And if you're not willing to go from one stage to the next, you become sticky and yuck. And whereas once you were vital and life-giving, enjoyment, Our favorite expression, and again, I know many know this one here, that we use, I do not like cheers. Don't do cheers, will you, when you're making a toast. Do you know what you want to say? There we go. Some of them have said it already. L'chaim. That's the Jewish greeting. L'chaim, which means to life. I love it. Cheers. L'chaim, to life. God is the author of life. God gives us life. Why I'm here, literally, physically, and my brother isn't, I don't know. L'chaim, thank you, Lord. But here now, Moab have been undisturbed. Some Christians are like that. They've got saved. They just look back to the past. They just say, well, in the old days. Unfortunately, I can remember the old days. And there's just as many challenges, but there's something inside of the human psyche that often blocks off the bad things and overemphasizes the good. But God is always doing new things. Behold, I do something new. The Lord wants to do something new in you. And your challenge, my challenge, and I come back to it. I can speak very freely today because I know I've heard from God. And there are people, you know that this word is going right into your heart. That you've just become stale spiritually. And you need to be poured into the next vessel. And you need to be filtered. And some of you might be like one vessel ahead of the first one. Well, does God say, well, that's okay then? No, he says, no, you're going into the next one. But he's given to each man and each woman a wonderful gift. And that gift is called free will. And so you can choose. If you noticed how many times in the Bible it speaks about choosing. Choose this day whom you will serve. Life is full of choices. There's a valley that was mentioned in Ezekiel. And it was called the Valley of Decisions. Anyone ever been in the Valley of Decisions? It's not a good place to be in. Particularly when you think, well, I could go that way, or I could go that way. Or I know I shouldn't go that way, but which way do you go? And the Bible says this, that you can hear a voice saying, this is the way. Walk in it. But if you're not willing to be attuned to that voice, then God has to do something. And so what does he do? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. My dear friend Tony, what a terrible way. What a terrible way to lose your sight. But you know, we sang at his funeral, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And who's the first person he saw? Jesus. And then he saw his dear wife, Margaret. I thought that was powerful. Because some people see, and Jesus said this, but they're blind. And God uses circumstances. Sometimes we say, it's the devil. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it certainly is. And like others here, I know what it's like to have deep, dark spiritual battles in you. Well, I don't want to talk about them, except to say this, you know, when it's demonic. But you also know as well, when God is using things, and God is using people. Now, of course, you could have the attitude, how dare they do that to me? How dare they say that I should, or think that? Or why hasn't God given me the opportunities that he's given to her or to him? Well, that's because God knows the best plan for your life. And what is the biggest stumbling block to your progress, dear pilgrim? Yeah, you, me. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease, that he must increase. God wants to do much more in you. And so often we think, how much more can he do in me? I know all the basics of the faith. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know how to worship and sing and so on. And all of those things are secondary. Almost, and only almost, not essential. But the essential is that I might know him. And every character that we look at in the Bible, every single one who went on with God was willing to be changed radically. But when we look at the characters, how did God bring them to the place of brokenness? Through circumstances of life. Through bereavements, through pain, through loss. Peter's denial. All of these things, they're all negative. But you know, for the believer in Jesus Christ, it is all yea and amen. Hallelujah. And we had that lovely scripture read before to just praise God. Don't you love the Psalms? I love the Psalms. I just read them and they're so relevant for life today. A few of us have been involved in trying to think of a nice benign word to use, but discussion with other Christians. And these other, so many, they say they don't believe the Bible. Leaders, ministers. Well, I'm here because I believe the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. I don't care who wants to contradict me. That's a red line I will not go below. I had a revelation of the name of Jesus. I had a revelation that the Bible is the word of God. I had it when I was 18, 3 years ago, and it's never, never changed. Now, God Almighty wants the power of his word and his promise to you, to take you and change you. We used to sing a song. I sort of nearly got it going, but things happened in the week, which some of you will remember. Jesus, you are changing me. Who remembers this? Jesus, you are changing me by your Spirit. You're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me. As I let you reign supreme within my heart. Now, weren't the oldies good, eh? As I let you reign supreme within my heart. Jesus, you're changing me. How many people have been changed by Jesus here? How many people have been changed a little? Medium? A lot? Yeah. Hallelujah. I love testimonies. I had a testimony lined up today, but They couldn't make it for one reason or another. But they overcame, Scripture says, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And as I said at the start, you know, we've got to have Jesus Christ individually proclaimed. We've got to speak out his name. Parents have got to speak out the name of Jesus into their homes. The government, if it's ever going to succeed, has to speak the truths of God into the nation. But we've got to be changed. We've got to be poured out. God has got to take us and pour us into the next vessel. Now, if you stay in that old place, well, does it mean you won't go to heaven? Yes, you'll go to heaven. But you'll be all sticky and gooey when you could be fresh and vital and anointed and used by God. I find people in this world, actually, you meet a tiny percentage who are just angry and totally hate God and all the rest of it. But you know what I find? I find that people have just never heard. When, as I mentioned about those gatherings that we're at, I think, goodness me, what are the people in these churches listening to? When you have leaders who say, the Bible isn't true. That doesn't light the touch paper for me. But Lord, give me a guard on my mouth, Lord. Are you willing to go the next step? Are you willing to say, whatever it is, Lord? Lord, I don't want to stay where I am. Who wants wine that is just sickly and yucky? Who wants life-giving wine to refresh and to bless, to cheer the heart? Glory to God. I said at the start that I didn't believe I'd just prepared a sermon. I haven't. I did prepare my heart. I have heard from God. That's not arrogance, by the way. It just is not arrogance. I know when I know. Some things you say I don't know. But I know when I know. When he has spoken. Ko amor Adonai. The Lord is speaking to hearts. Are you willing to be poured into the next vessel? Or are you going to let the dregs, the lees, just clog up? I believe it's the time to just pray for people. And like you now, as this season comes on, as this day of prayer for our nation is proclaimed, I just want to pray for people who want to be poured out and who God has spoken to. So can you quickly come out, please, and we'll just pray for you. In the wonderful, powerful, life-transforming name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We said right at the start, you have to humble yourself. You have to be broken. He that is down need fear no fall. He that is low no pride.